David Justice is here. Hi, David. How are you?
Hi, Dan. Good morning. Real well. Thanks.
Thanks for being on. David is a...
American.
Is that what you are? He's a dissident. He's a troublemaker. He's Harry Wu. He is...
Thomas Paine.
Yeah. David is a troublemaker. For us Bolsheviks, he's a troublemaker for us. Hi, you're on with David Justice. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. Hey, you know, your narrative that you're talking about is correct. You know, but we are a racist nation with black, you know, with slavery in our background, and that's what's pushed. But wait a minute. Name one nation that hasn't had slaves. Can't. Name where the slaves came from. Africa. Why Africa? Well, the native tribes were raiding and pillaging each other and taking slaves for themselves, and then they found there was a market. So let's go back to Africa and get those guys. That's never brought up in the slave discussion. And the Native American Indians, who were so pure, they were raiding and pillaging and raping, and when one village went to the other, they would take slaves. But that narrative is never brought up.
Mm-hmm. Another narrative that's not brought up is the fact that the Irish were the white. There was a white slave trade. And it was the black slaves were more valuable than the white slaves. So there is a history of slavery, and the white race has been involved as slaves, both being the master and the servant. And so, yeah.
I'm part Irish, so I figured the British owe me some reparations, but then I'm part German, so I'd have to pay it back.
Well, Germans were discriminated against during the Dust Bowl era. German immigrants were in the United States. I don't know if they were slaves, but they were discriminated against.
Yeah.
But slavery, you're right, sir. Slavery ended in the West. I mean, it still goes on in Africa.
Exactly. Exactly. But you never... I've never seen anything about that on any of these PBS specials. You know, they always start with, you know, John Newton's ships coming in, but they never say, well, how did he get them? How did they get them?
And now the United Nations has the audacity to recommend reparations, demand reparations from the white Americans. That's pretty rich coming from the UN. We give them $7 billion a year, by the way. But I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
I got to hit the news, David. More with David Justice coming up. This is AM 580. Good morning, AM 580 KUBC. My name is Dan, and David Justice is here. This is talk about philosophy. You know, David, you were talking about Christians, and a lot of times I'll praise Irwin Schiff, you know, who didn't pay taxes and didn't think he had to pay taxes, and he went to jail for a long time and later and died recently. Someone will say, some Bible banger will tell me, Dan, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. Well, what if Caesar says, give me your children? Is that obedience? How do you answer that question?
Well, I say that these Christians that would say that as a shortcut answer don't understand the scriptures. And they think that they know what scripture is saying when it comes to obedience and rebellion, but they don't understand the context and they don't understand the principles. America's founding fathers, if they were truly being measured by what modern American Christianity believes, we're totally rebellious. So what are we doing as a nation? They rebelled against the King of England. Reconcile that one with render to Caesar. And Romans 13 and 2 Peter 2:13, submit to the governing authorities. You know, we need to, there are much deeper principles involved, and I believe that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and James Madison understood those principles a hell of a lot better than we understand them today.
Hi, you're on with David Justice. Good morning.
Well, I think rebellion takes sacrifice and obedience. You just do what you're told. And so wisdom has to come into play on, you know, When do we sacrifice? When is it time to sacrifice? When is it time to stand up for our values and principles? But sacrifice isn't a real enjoyable word in our country today, and a lot of others, but other people understand it. So when you think about the cause of Christ, it was, we give our life up in sacrifice. That's, we deny ourselves. But you still have to have wisdom in that, and I think God's direction is really important there.
Mm-hmm. So in 1939, if someone came to your door and said, "You hiding Jews here, and you had Jews in the basement," what do you say?
I haven't had time to pray about that one. No, that I would have to protect them, I guess. Who is it that's asking the question? If it was the German Nazis,
the Gestapo.
Yeah. My opinion is I probably would at this point in time, without going through all the drama that went on then, I would have to say, I guess, lie and say, no, I'm not.
Right. And the guy who exposed Planned Parenthood, he went undercover and interviewed the Planned Parenthood bigwigs and got them to admit that they sell aborted baby body parts. He lied.
Yeah.
I mean, is that Machiavellian?
Yeah. No, we're stuck between a rock and a hard spot, and that's why my ability to make those decisions is pretty limited. And this is part of denying ourselves in the fact that who do we rely on? I mean, in my life, I have to rely on who God is and His sovereignty and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit at the time. And that's a tough thing for us to give up and rely on what the Holy Spirit tells us in our life.
Mm.
And so anyway.
Yeah, you got to be contemplative.
And the people in the United States today, to me, we're not under persecution like when Christ was here on earth and after His death and resurrection. Christians went on and they pursued Christianity and following Christ, and they were persecuted. We're not under that. We don't have a real grasp of what denying ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus really means. And we think we do, but I don't know that we do. Someday it may come down to that. We may be faced with it, or our kids or our grandkids. I don't know when, but I don't think we really understand what sacrifice is. I know I don't, because I haven't experienced it in the magnitude that others have. You know, I didn't serve in the armed forces, so sleeping on the ground, eating supper out of a can, and you know, those kind of things, that changes your life. And hopefully through the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, our life will be transformed. And that's a tough thing for people to grasp.
All right.
So, anyway.
Hey, thank you for the call. Good call.
You bet. Bye.
It is 8:43. David Justice is here. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I have had experience church hopping, and have discovered that many people believe they're led by the Holy Spirit, but they would disagree with what the Holy Spirit says. And I ask, well, how can we be in disagreement if we're all worshiping the same God, if we're all, you know, reading the same scripture? And the problem is our interpretation, our perspective gets in the way. So it's a very dangerous thing to believe we're being led by the Holy Spirit when we're really being led by our perspective of what we believe the Holy Spirit is saying. And it's two very different things.
Got it. Hi, you're on with David Justice. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave and Dan.
Hello.
This is old Larry up here in Cedar Edge. looking down on you guys.
Thanks for calling, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the last person was pretty much right on. And then there was another guy talking about slavery. Well, yeah, and indentured servants all the way back in the Bible. But they had a way of freeing themselves every 7 years. It's all written in the first five books of the Bible, which is called Torah, which people call the law. Actually, Torah means teachings and instructions on how to live. So that gets you, you do that, and you're obedient, actually, to all of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
All right? there's a lot in the Christian church teaches that when you get saved, you go to the book of John. Actually, you should go to Genesis and start reading there. Then you have a better understanding of the New Testament or the writings of the apostles and elders. You got some holidays coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They're God's holidays. They're not Jewish holidays. They're God's holidays. And you can find that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and elsewhere in the Word. Sunday night starts Yom Teruah, which is the blowing of the trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah. If you come up the Cedar Edge Sunday evening at Annie's Pizza, we're going to be blowing trumpets.
Mm.
I hope you can hear them down in Montrose.
Hopefully we can, yeah. Sounds nice.
Then the next one is Yom Kippur, which is the most holy day. I think that's 10 days later. It's a fast day. And then about 14 days after Yom Teruah is Sukkot. And this is to be a remembrance of the Exodus, where the people lived in tents, temporary dwellings, for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be living in a temporary dwelling for about 7 or 8 days. It's commanded in Leviticus.
Mm. What faith are you? What denomination are you, sir?
What
particular denomination are you? Or are you non-denominational?
Of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Because he did all of his word. And he said so in Matthew chapter 5, 17 through 21, where he said, I came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, or to be an example. So when you take up your cross and follow Christ, you need to do what Christ did. Not just a feel-good thing of saying, okay, I'm saved. No. Then you have to proceed and repent, which means go back to God's word and do what he says. That's the whole problem today.
Larry?
You got any other questions?
I got a question for you. We call it the Feast of Tabernacles, what you're referring to.
Yes.
So you do it just because it's commanded?
Yes.
Or was it commanded because there's something about this feast that benefits? In other words, do you celebrate this feast only because it was commanded and so it's a regimen, it's rote, it's structured? Or is there something about, is there a reason why it was commanded, and do you celebrate it for the reason why?
Actually, both.
Well, what's the reason why?
Well, it's commanded for one thing.
Well, no, I just disposed of that.
Yeah.
What's the reason why? What's the benefit?
It's a gathering of God's people to practice for what is to come. There's going to be a greater exodus after the abomination of desolation, which is in Daniel chapter 12.
Did you ever have a family reunion? Do you do family reunions?
We had a reunion, when was it? In August, I think it was, yeah.
Why do you do family reunions? Is it commanded?
Well, that's kind of tradition, and it's also good to gather the people and get reunited.
There you go. You do it to maintain contact with relatives, because you want your children to know their cousins. You want, you know, grandpa to reconnect with nephew or granddaughter. And so there's the reason that we all love family reunions is because we get to go see our cousins.
Yeah.
Or we get to go see our favorite aunt or favorite uncle. And we have something in common. We have race in common. You know, we have lineage in common. And we like being around family.
Right. And there's also the family of God.
It keeps us in touch with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if we turn it into a sterile, well, because we're commanded to do it, it's sterile and boring.
Oh, no. You've never been to Sukkot.
No, you didn't hear what I just said. If we're doing it because the law says we have to, it's sterile and boring. But if we do it for the reason that the law, you know, directs us to do so, now it's fruitful, and we benefit, and it's something that we would enjoy.
Well, you know, we've got commandments, but there's still choice. You have the choice to do them or not to do them.
Free will.
Yes, and God loves his people that do it.
Do you have a driver's license?
Yes, I do.
Why? Because the law says so?
Yeah, the civil law.
If the law didn't say
so. There's more civil laws that people obey than there are in Torah, which is about 613, of which the 613, they don't all apply to men or women or the priest, etc.
Okay, so today we have, I can't even name the number of laws, the volumes of books, and the administrative agencies that have been established, and all of these laws that we're required to follow. And we follow them all. And by following all these laws, and now the government comes out with more laws because they want to solve things. And so there's a reason why the laws are put into place. And what reason?
The reason is, if you don't have law, then you're lawless. You have chaos.
And the opposite.
The Constitution was founded basically on the Ten Commandments.
Okay, that's the downside. That's the negative. What's the positive of the law? What is the point? What is the purpose?
The point of it is to have life and have morality and obedience to God.
How about order?
Order.
Yeah, order.
Order. Order. The purpose of law is order. So what happens if laws start being passed that actually create chaos? Are those then laws written to perpetuate order, or are they laws to perpetuate control? Because the end result is a forced type of order, but it's actually creating chaos. So how do you know which laws to be in obedience to and which laws to rebel from? Because not all laws are valid in that they don't create or perpetuate order.
Well, you can sum up the Bible in one word, and it's life. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Order. Let's see.
Larry, I'm going to have to let you call us back.
Okay. I'll tell you what.
I gotta go to more calls.
We have an amendment called the Second Amendment.
Uh-huh.
There's a purpose for it. God bless you.
All right.
Thanks, Larry.
Hello, you're on with David Justice. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I would like to respond to that fellow that was talking about having been persecuted as a Christian.
Okay, go ahead. You think there is Christian persecution in the USA?
Yeah, I guess he hasn't been out trying to spread the gospel of Christ and stand on the scriptures, because I'll guarantee you, if you try and go down and stand around a flagpole at a public school and have a prayer time, you'll be getting kicked off. If you try to wear the Ten Commandments on a T-shirt down at Mesa College, you will be told to take it off. So, and back in the Colorado for Family Value days, I received a lot of persecution for my religious beliefs. And you start preaching the Bible now, which a lot of these preachers are trying to be milquetoast preachers. You start talking about what the Bible says, what Apostle Paul said about homosexuality, that people that practice such have been given over to a reprobate mind. You're going to get arrested for hate crimes. So the reason he's not getting persecuted, in my opinion, is because he's not out there standing on all the scriptures of the Bible. He's just kind of playing, you know, dodgeball with the scriptures and saying he hasn't been persecuted. So, I you know, there's plenty of persecution going on in this country right now for true Bible preaching Christians. You do like Billy Sunday used to do and set up a soapbox down on the street corner and start preaching heaven and hell and where you're going if you don't get saved, and you will be shut up in a hurry. You're doing things that offends people and makes them feel uneasy. So anybody out there really preaching the scriptures and standing on all the scriptures of the Bible and telling what God's going to judge when this thing's all over, you're not going to get very far before you start getting persecuted.
Mm-hmm. Or if you own a bakery and you refuse to make a cake for a certain couple.
Exactly. You go. There you go.
Okay, yeah, right. There is isolated Christian persecution going on in this country.
I think if you're Islam, you can step out and do your prayer thing, can't you?
Yeah. And as, you know, as far as taxes, the reason that the Constitution tells the federal government how they can tax, and if it's an apportioned tax or a direct tax, it's got to be apportioned, indirect tax, and it can be unapportioned. This federal income tax that everybody's walking around paying, that they feel obligated to pay, is the second plank of the Communist Manifesto. And the Constitution says that I have the right to pursue life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Well, I pursue that with the fruits of my labor. I don't do that so the government can take the fruits of my labor and squander it on the projects like giving $150 billion to Iran.
Or Planned Parenthood, yeah.
So that people ought to read the law, and then they would know what the law is. That's the biggest fraud that's ever been perpetrated on a people, is that federal income tax inside the United States.
Yeah, amen, brother. I got to run. I got one more call. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on with David Justice. Hello.
Yeah, I called earlier. I agree with the fella that you just hung up from,
uh-huh.
And I'm the one that called earlier. I wasn't. What I'm referring to is persecution of the early church in the book of Acts.
Oh.
I understand where he's at, but our persecution is nowhere near what theirs was, and being stoned to death and beheaded and hung upside down in this country. And that's my reference, is clear back to there. We will understand what persecution is. And that does happen in the world today. But in the U.S., we've got freedom of religion. It's diluted, but we still have it compared to what it was in the early church.
Well, wait a minute. Those people were political insurgents.
Radicals.
There was no separation of church and state in that day. Let's not forget that rebellion to the king was religious treason. There was no separation of church and state. So we have this frame of reference today where we're separating, we're compartmentalizing the two. Back in the day, mm-hmm. They were insurgents,
right.
And they were hunted down.
Sir Thomas More, yeah.
Murdered. They were murdered for being dissident and for being deplorable.
That's what I'm referring to as persecution.
Yeah.
They went through. And we don't face that like they did. I mean, in our own, all of us' own little world. I mean, you can preach the gospel on the street corner. You can witness to your neighbor, and your neighbor may reject you. But I don't personally call that persecution. When Paul was up against people that didn't want to hear the gospel, and he knew that, he shook the dirt off his feet and left.
Hey,
it's a matter of degree.
Hey, I got to run, brother. Thank you for the call.
You bet.
Thanks.
Bye.
So long.
News is coming up next from ABC. AgriTalk at 9:06. Laura Ingram, 10:06.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Mr. Justice. I'll talk to you next time.